Sports Interview with Anne Liguori is brought to you by Travelers. Travelers, it's better under the umbrella. And by Tourism Ireland, with world-class courses, historic links, stunning scenery, and unmatched hospitality. Experience golf like never before in Ireland. Start planning your dream golf trip today at ireland.com/golf. Major championship of the season, the Chevron Championship final round action this afternoon. And joining me now is a guy who has covered the LPGA for the past 23 years, Grant Boone. What an honor to have you on.
Hello, Ann. Good morning. The pleasure is all mine. You know what a big fan of yours I am. This is a real treat for me.
Oh, well, that's sweet. But here, the big question, Grant, will the winner of the Chevron Championship later today jump into the lake to carry on the tradition?
It is a great question, and several of the players have said they would. In fact, the co-leaders, these two young Americans, who both have absolute star potential in different kinds of ways. Alison Corpuz, who's this slow, steady, I think, kind of tortoise in the hare, and hold that thought with a tortoise, because that's going to come back later in this interview. But she's slow and steady. She doesn't hit it very far necessarily, but she hits it beautifully. Great ball striker. Star from Hawaii. She kind of took the mantle from Michelle Wee growing up on Oahu. Just in her second year, she said she doesn't think she'll jump. You know, the water out there in Palm Springs, they had turned it from what it was, which was just a pond, into a chlorinated, controlled area. Well, this here at Carlton Woods in suburban Houston, they haven't done that yet.
Right.
And Allison said, if the stars align tomorrow, I don't think I'm going to jump. She said, it doesn't look super clear. And then what did Angel Yen say? She said, anything. If you'll let me win, I'll do anything. Does that sound desperate? That's
wow.
What she said.
Well, yeah, there could be alligators when she in
said
that.
Well, and certainly there could be anything, but Angel is this off-the-wall Southern California wild personality, hilariously funny, really clever, and hits it miles. She's and here's an interesting contrast, Anne, and we see this in the women's game far more than we see the men. Angel came out when she was 18 years old onto the LPGA Tour and, you know, joined the tour. She was playing the U.S. Open when she was 13, the Chevron Championship when she was 14 out there in the desert, whereas Alison Corpuz, you know, was a great amateur player, but then she went the college route, went to USC. So Allison's actually a little bit older than Angel, even though Angel's been out on tour now for 7 years. So both of them looking for their first win. And they're trying to do it, you know, in a major way. And when at this place that is hosting the old Dinosaur that you and I would have called it for our whole lives. But I think your question is a good one, because maybe as much as anything, the purse would be the biggest difference between men's and women's golf, the prize money. But exposure is up there. And here's another thing: tradition.
That's
the
right.
Women's game doesn't have the kinds of traditions that the men's majors have. And it's because the men's majors, of course, had, you know, nearly a 100-year head start or 70-year head start with the Open Championship in 1860. And the first, you know, U.S. Open wasn't.
And that tradition, jumping into Poppy's Pond, that was started by Amy Alcott back in 1988. And I want to, you know, before we get to the leaderboard, I want to ask you what you were most maybe – what was the most impressive dive or approach into Poppy's Pond that you can remember? Because I read where Annika, she dove in when she first won in 2001, and Patty Sheehan did cartwheels, and Carrie Webb did a cannonball. And then we had a caddy who did the flying squirrel leap. I mean, it just seems like it's such a tradition, as you've mentioned, that what's your favorite memory of that?
Yeah, all of those are great. Matty Gelchis, who was the caddy for Miriam Lee when she won in that COVID year of 2020, I think he did the flying squirrel. Patty T, if you can go back and look at Patty Tavitanicat in 2021, it was almost like she struck a pose, like midair, you know. And that was classic. And then, of course, there were some lowlights as well. Stacey Lewis's mom broke her leg jumping in when Stacey won in 2011. So it's a contact sport, that leap into Poppy's Pond. But With so few traditions, Anna, I really think I heard what you said earlier in the show when you were starting out in the Open that Chevron's trying to create some new traditions. And I just feel like, yes, some may like the leap, some may not. But the reality is there aren't an abundance of the traditions in the women's game. Women's golf hasn't been on network television nearly as much. So those traditions haven't had a chance to be created quite as often, nearly as often as in the men's game. So I don't know what will happen, but I do know we're in for what should be, you know, a great finish with some great young Americans up there and some other great players from all over the world as well.
And for those lamenting the fact that this major left a 51-year tradition and such a great venue in Mission Hills and Rancho Mirage, I mean, the bottom line is, you know, Chevron came in with the much-needed sponsorship dollars. They increased the prize money by 60%. And, you know, the money talks, right?
Money, yeah, it talks in every sport, in every business, obviously. But in the women's game, just look at the schedule this year on the LPGA Tour. The LPGA just doesn't have the kinds of funds like the PGA Tour does. To be able to exactly arrange its schedule the way it wants, which is why you go 2 months without any tournament, and then you're going zigzagging across the country. We're going to be up there near you for the Cognizant Founders Cup at Upper Montclair here in a couple of weeks. After being in L.A. and San Francisco, then we're going back to Vegas for a tournament. And these players aren't flying privately, by the way, like many of the best stars.
And they started in the Far East early in the year.
They open in Orlando. They take a month off, and they go to Asia for a couple of. It's just a you don't have the kind of money to put the schedule together exactly the way you want it. You're a little bit beholden to what the individual sponsors want, and then when it comes to what you said, Chevron, nobody was saying whatever we do, we got to get out of the desert. No one really was excited to leave the desert. People wanted to stay. I mean that place, that Mission Hills really was the Masters of women's golf. It had been at the same place for 50 years. We had watched, just like we do at Augusta. Remember this year with 13 having changed so dramatically at Augusta National. We saw that golf course evolve and change over the years, and it was great to be able to go back. It was almost like it was like a reunion every year on the LPGA Tour. It was the place. It was like coming home, and that's what made it so tough to leave. But, you know, ANA, which was a Japanese airline, which had come along to really rescue that tournament after Kraft Nabisco left, they weren't, their future was very shaky. They were not certain they were going to keep it. Mission Hills, as a club, some wanted to keep it. Others weren't as enthusiastic. The time of year, it became opposite the Augusta National Women's Amateur. That became very frustrating for the LPGA Tour because as great as that event, I think, has the potential to be that Augusta National Women's Amateur, it was put, the Masters Tournament put it right on the weekend.
That's right, same weekend.
Of the Dinah Shore, which is such a big event for amateurs. And look, this year we've got two amateurs who've made the cut. All of those factors, and really, and then you bring Chevron in who says, we want to pump this purse up. Pun intended. They pumped it up to $5.1 million, $750,000 for the winner, and they said we want to bring it to our hometown of Houston. This club is magnificent. I know you've seen a lot of the footage and a lot of the coverage. The clubhouse is magnificent. It's about 6 hours from where I live out here in West Texas. It's a great club. I think it's worthy of a major championship. The leaderboard it's produced is a bunch of great ball strikers, and you know, you got Nelly Korda up there with a chance to win a second major. I think it's been great, and it's change is never easy. I'm an old soul, and I loved it out in the desert, but I think this has a chance to be great as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And as you mentioned, the afternoon winner will earn $765,000. Now compare that to the PGA Tour. You know, those designated events last week, Matthew Fitzpatrick won $3.6 million by winning the RBC Heritage. But, I mean, the good news is, Grant, that the LPGA will award $101.4 million in total prize money, which is an all-time high It's 18% higher in 2022, it was, and more than double from, what, 10 years ago. So
right.
As a guy who has been covering women's golf for 23 years, what's been most impressive to you in terms of, you know, the growth that you've seen?
Well, I think the ceiling has been raised, and that's what I think is most important, meaning the top end of the purses have you know, really exploded here. You know, $10 million purse at the U.S. Women's Open, $1.8 million richest ever at the time when Minji Lee won the U.S. Women's Open last year. And that's going to keep going up. Not coincidentally, by the way, you connect the dots. Who's the head of the USGA right now? Mike Kwan. For more, a decade had been right. The LPGA commissioner. He comes along and immediately the purse elevates to $10 million. All the majors are now over $5 million purses. It wasn't but a couple of years ago that the Chevron was really struggling to get into that, you know, $2 million, $3 million range for total purse. We're not talking first prize. We're talking total purse. And so now you've seen that the AIG, which is the sponsor of the Women's British Open, KPMG, they've taken that to $9 million. Now you're getting multiple million-dollar-plus first prizes on the LPGA Tour. The CME Tour Championship, CME Group, Terry Duffy, they have pumped tons of money into women's golf. $2 million for the winner when Lydia Ko won in November last year, the season-ending event. Now you're starting to see, you know, is money the most important thing? Clearly not. I think we've seen that with Liv. It's not unimportant. But I do think in the women's game, when they begin to play for more money, people begin to notice a little bit more. Now what's got to happen, Anne, is I think we've got to see the floor rise. The ceiling has risen. Now you've got to see the weekly tournaments. Hey, let me tell you, it wasn't that, you know, in the last few years, there had even been tournaments that are 1.3, 1.4, 1.5 million total purse. First prizes of $200,000. We were seeing that 15 years ago in the LPGA Tour. So the tour, as some people know, took a big dip around 2010. Again, not coincidentally, with the recession. They changed commissioners. Mike Kwan really brought it back to a great level, high level. I think we're positioned for something really great. You got to get on network television more. I don't think there's any question about that. It's going to be on NBC today. There's going to be a lot on NBC three times this year. The Sunday round or the final round will be on CBS. You've been around in the media business for a long time, Anne, and I don't think, you may disagree, I don't think you can overstate the importance, even in this era of cord cutting and everyone looking on watching on their screens. There's something about being on network television. The ratings are always higher when
on
CBS or NBC.
Oh, absolutely. And NBC is, you know, really done a great job covering, I think, a lot of the LPGA events, and the Golf Channel has been all over it. And well, okay, so you mentioned the young women tied for the lead, Alison Corpuz and Angel Yin, but Nelly Korda, I mean, talk about a flawless swing. What I would give to have her golf swing. She joins three others at 8-under, two shots back, and what a great sports family. I mean, her older sister Jessica competes on the tour. Her brother, Sebastian, ranked 26th in the world in tennis. I remember covering the father, Peter Korda, in tennis. He won the 98 Australian Open. And the mother was played professional tennis as well. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. It has to be one of the great sports families in the country.
Oh, yeah. Regina played in the Olympics for Czechoslovakia. Yeah, Peter and Regina have created three phenomenal athletes, and you know, Jessica has been a terrific player. Six wins for her on the LPGA Tour. She's really battled through injuries for most of her career. She's now 30, and you know, Nelly's just 24. Sebastian's the youngest of the bunch, and he's come close in some Grand Slam events as well, and is only getting better and better. Nelly really caught the eye of a lot of the PGA Tour guys when she played in the Grant Thornton Invitational, as well as the PNC Challenge with her dad. Max Homan, Kevin Kisner, and Jordan Spieth, and these guys were saying, "How does she not win every week? She doesn't miss a shot. She's phenomenal." This week, we've seen little glimpses of maybe why Nelly doesn't win every week, and of course no one wins every week. But she's missed two putts inside, you know, 3 feet this in the last couple of days, and she's two shots back. Now she's made some great putts as well, but
she's drained some long bombs.
She has, but she's missed a couple that the others haven't missed, the 2 and 3 footers, and yet here she is two shots back. The last time she, you know, and here's the thing for Nelly. She had a blood clot in February of last year, and she had surgery and missed 4 months, and it was
right
scary.
In the middle of like her, she was playing so well and winning.
Well, she won 4 times, including a major, plus the Olympic gold medal in 2021, and then start of 2022. This not just an injury, but this is the kind of thing that makes you think: is there something really wrong with me, and potentially, you know, deadly? And she's overcome that. She came back to win last year in November. And what was the situation? She was two shots behind Alison Corpuz. Well, here's Alison Corpuz, along with Angel Yin, two shots ahead of Nelly going into this final round today. Nelly is all over ads. She's all over magazines. She looks like the cover girl of a magazine, which shouldn't ultimately matter. She is a star, is the point. She's
absolutely
got complete star potential. And then you've got, you know, 20-year-old Ataya Titikun from Thailand up there. Alban Valenzuela is like a walking United Nations. She was born there in New York City, grew up and lived a few years in Mexico. Then the family moved to Switzerland. Her father's, you know, in the finance industry. Now they live in the Bahamas. She represents Switzerland. She went to Stanford. She's a shot off the lead. And you've got what I'm looking at, 9 players separated by 2 shots at the top of the leaderboard, and a whole bunch of players with a chance to win for the very first time and to do it in a big way. So on NBC this afternoon with Morgan Pressel and Terry Gannon in the booth, and then Tom Abbott and Paige McKenzie and Karen Supples, our whole crew. So it'll be.
They do a great job.
I hope it's going to be a great finish. I hope somebody goes out and wins it, and that we have the drama that we have come to expect in a big event like this.
Grant, I have to ask you this before I let you go. Greg Norman said that female pro golfers from the Ladies European Tour have been asking all the time how they can get involved with LIV, and that they would love to see a LIV Ladies Series. What are your thoughts about LIV Golf organizing a women's tour? And how do you think the LPGA is reacting to that?
It's a great question. I really think it is going to be the defining question for Molly Marcoux-Simon, who was the longtime athletics director up at Princeton.
And she will be my guest next Sunday morning, by the way.
She's very impressive. I've really enjoyed getting to know Molly and working with her on some things. And I think it's going to be I'll tune in to hear what she has to say. I think it is going to be maybe the defining issue in her tenure as commissioner.
Sure.
Because, as we said, the kind of money that the PIF and the Saudi government has is so much that the PGA Tour can't even match it. You know, and even Tiger has said, if we get into an arms race, Jay Monahan himself said, you know, we can't match their
unlimited
money.
Funds. And
especially on the women's level, it would be extremely tempting. I also think with the LPGA being more of a world tour, yes, it's based here in the United States, but for even far longer than the PGA Tour, this has been a tour that's gone more places, that's had better stars, bigger stars from all over the world. I do think in America we have the privilege of being able to say who we want to do business with and who we don't. We know the American government does a ton of business with the Saudis. Every government does, basically. But I think we have that luxury because we are a bit isolated from the rest of the world. I think when you live in Europe and when you live in other places in the world, you don't necessarily have to like who you're doing business with, but you have no choice. If you know, Spain and Portugal can't really, you know, say, we're going to pretend the other isn't there. You share a border, you know. You've got to deal with people who you may not like. And I think different people from different countries have gotten more used to that. It's like we don't have to like them or think that, you know, what they're doing is good. But this is reality. And on the Ladies European Tour, which was really dead in the water. I mean, a couple of years ago, it was on its last legs. The PIF came in and pumped a ton of money in to what they call the Aramco Series. They play an event in New York, every year, and have Lexi won it last fall. They've pumped a ton of money. So they've almost, rather than creating a separate live league, they've just taken a bigger investment into an existing tour, the Ladies European Tour.
Right.
And while the LET and the LPGA are not the same organization, they do have an alliance, and so there are some connections there. I don't want to see I'm like you when it comes to live on the men's tour. I want to see the best players in the world playing on the LPGA tour.
Thank you so much. We're out of time. Unfortunately, it's such a pleasure to talk to you. Grant Boone, always a pleasure. I'll have you on again, I hope.
Thanks, Ann.
Thanks so much. Sports Interview with Ann Liguori is brought to you by Travelers. Travelers, it's better under the umbrella. And by Tourism Ireland, with world-class courses, historic links, stunning scenery, and unmatched hospitality. Experience golf like never before in Ireland. Start planning your dream golf trip today at ireland.com/golf.